So let's get back to "If My People." We looked at this beginning in 2 Chronicles 7 last time. We're not going to be back there this time. You can turn to Philippians 3 this time. We're going to go deeper on this issue, "If My People." We concluded last time, the July 4th message, that whatever your personal political opinion may be about the president or the economy or foreign policy or immigration or the Supreme Court, and it's all legitimate and it's important for us to have our convictions as free men and women. But the ultimate solution, the final answer, is spiritual in this nation. God says, if you want to bless America, strengthen America, and heal America, let the church be the church. Amen? We have to be the people that we're called to be. Let the church be the real deal. If my people, called by my name, will humble themselves, and we looked at what that humbling ourselves looks like, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I will heal their land. Let the church be the church. The real deal. But the Lord says there are some in the church, now and always, who are not the real deal, who are not Christians at all. Milli Vanilli Christians. But professing, even believing that they're the real deal. And we want to look at that today in Philippians chapter 3. Teachable moment for all of us, starting with the preacher. We were all amazed by the story of the 12 young boys and their soccer coach trapped for 2 weeks in the flooded cave in Thailand. What an amazing story. Thank God for his grace. And we're thankful for their incredible rescue. Like the whole world held its breath for 2 weeks, right? And of course, I love the fact that when they were rescued, these young soccer players, they got out just in time for the World Cup semifinals and the championship match. I thought, is that God's grace or what? Those kids were wanting to see those games, right? Now, we were moved by the amazing love and sacrifice of the one Thai Special Forces Navy SEAL, who gave his life rescuing these kids. Our Lord Jesus says, greater love has no one than this. You give your life for your friends. The coach was there for his kids, stayed with them every minute, strengthened them, encouraged them. Dozens of rescuers risked their own lives for those kids. The kids were there for each other. And as I saw that, I thought, they are the real deal. And they have a lot to teach us. We have a lot to learn from them. As a follower of Jesus, I want to be the real deal. I want to experience a camaraderie with my brothers and sisters. Amen. I want to enjoy an esprit de corps to walk with God together, to truly be, as we introduced last time, a dual citizen. In my case, an American citizen. For some of you, citizens of another nation. But a dual citizen, citizens of our earthly nation and citizens of a greater kingdom, worshiping a greater king. The problem is, as we saw in the last message, the Bible says in the last days, much of the professing church will be more like the culture, more like the world, than they will be like Jesus. Hedonists and materialists and narcissists. Having a form of religion, it says. Denying all the power. Scary stuff. That means I need to take a look at myself. People were professing to be born twice, physically and spiritually, professing to be, in our case, Americans and followers of God's kingdom, but living like they had been born only once, only committed down here, professing to be born from above, but having only been born from below. The Lord says it will be a problem in the last days. The Lord says it's a problem now. And he says it was a problem in the early church. And I want to look at that in Philippians 3 for a moment. Now in Philippi, 2,000 years ago, just 30 years or so after our Lord Jesus Christ lived, walked, taught, did miracles, died for our sins, rose from the dead, just 30 years later, in Philippi, there were professing people who were professing faith in Jesus. Some were Jewish believers, some were Greek believers, but they were professing faith in Jesus Christ, believing that they were in Jesus Christ, but they were not. And no, don't take my word for it, because I wasn't there and I didn't know them. But we can take Paul's word for it, that they were citizens only of this world, thinking they were citizens of both. And this is important for us to ponder today. In the midst of all the division, the partisanship, the politicization of the gospel, left and right at times, look at Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, speaking to those who are truly dual citizens. He says, "Brothers, sisters, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." That is, God has his people. Keep your eyes on us, your leadership, and a lot of others who are actually walking as believers the way they should. They've been truly born from above. "For many of whom I have told you often and now tell you even with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." He's not talking about pagans who God loves very much who are clearly against the gospel. He's talking about people among them who profess faith with them, but that are ultimately enemies of the cross. That's scary. Their end is destruction. People in their fellowship whose end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Right among them. Most of them not even knowing that they're lost, thinking they're saved. But our citizenship is in heaven. There are those who are truly dual citizens. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Wow. Now, more specifically, some of the Jewish people who were professing faith in the Lord Jesus in Philippi, but who were not true believers, they believed that you had to do more than trust Jesus to be saved. They believed you had also to keep the Mosaic law. You had to obey the Mosaic law, faith plus keeping the law. They were known as, sometimes they were called Judaizers, sometimes they were known as legalists. They literally, ultimately elevated the law of Moses, which in itself is a good thing. God uses it to lead us to grace because we can't keep the law. So the law's good in itself. But they were elevating the law above grace. They were elevating the law above the gospel itself. They were self-righteous because of it, thinking they were the only ones that could really trust Jesus and keep the law. And they were judgmental, of course, and divisive because they thought they were the only ones. They thought they had been born again. They thought they'd been born twice. But they had not been born twice. We need to listen to this. They thought they were citizens of heaven. And Paul says clearly, the only citizenship they have is in Philippi. Teachable moments. Now, some of the Greeks in Philippi, who were also professing faith in Jesus, but who were not true believers, they had elevated their Greek culture. That would include science, history, literature, philosophy, all of which are good in themselves. Amen? Science, history, literature, and philosophy are good in themselves. But just like the law, which is good in itself, the Greek believers had elevated their culture above the gospel itself. And when they elevated their own culture above the gospel itself, it led them to an unbiblical mindset, which in this case was early Gnosticism. It's an epistemology. It's a way of knowing. They would have argued that they had this secret, this Gnostic knowledge that only they had. And no one else had it. It was only them. And of course, they believed they possessed this superior knowledge, this superior wisdom, which led them in their life to an antinomian lifestyle, a lawless, morally lawless lifestyle. They became a law unto themselves. And the first thing that happened was this lawlessness perverted their sense of freedom. Instead of being empowered and set free with God's understanding of freedom, which is the truth shall set you free, and when you're free, you will have the power moment by moment to do what you should, the power to live the way God wants you to live and to please God. But there, antinomian lifestyle, the law to themselves, it bastardized their understanding of freedom. No longer was freedom the power to do what you should to please God and to honor God. Now freedom for them became the right to do whatever I want to do. License instead of liberty. And now it was, I have the right to do what I want to please me. To be my own boss. Now, this was in Philippi. This will be the professing church in the last days as well. And at times, this is the church now. Amen? They thought, these Greek professors of Christ, they believed they were forgiven. They believed that they were dual citizens also of Philippi and of heaven. But they were totally deceived. They deceived themselves. They were citizens only of Philippi. turn forward in your Bible from Philippians 1 book to Colossians chapter 2. That's why you can understand when Paul writes to them concerning this deception because of their Greek culture and their antinomianism and their searching for wisdom and power in all the wrong places. He writes to them in chapter 2 of Colossians verse 1. He says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is in Christ. He says, I want you guys to know that this rich, full understanding and assurance of the knowledge of God's mystery, it's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. If you're a genuine believer in Christ, you're going to appreciate culture, the good stuff. You're going to appreciate the law in its right sense. You're going to appreciate art and literature and philosophy and history, science, all of it. But ultimately, you know that the ultimate wisdom is God's wisdom expressed in Jesus Christ. So he writes that to them. This is how you'll know you belong to me. You know the ultimate wisdom comes from Jesus Christ. In whom are hidden what? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may what? Delude you with what? Plausible arguments. In all the divisions and the partisanship, don't let other people deceive you about what is ultimately true and eternal. For though I'm absent in body, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in him. You received him by grace through faith, right? So walk by grace through faith. Don't walk trying to keep the law. Don't walk being led more by your culture and its wisdom than by Christ and his spirit. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in what? Thanksgiving. You're going to be known by thanksgiving, not by partisanship, not by divisions, not by super spirituality and arrogance and pride. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. According to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority, he says. Wow. Wake up call. And then he prays for them and for us. Look back at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 9. He prays for us and for them. Chapter 1, verse 9, he says, from the day we heard, that is, we heard that you had by God's grace come to know Christ, put your faith in Christ, and been delivered from this present system. He says, from that day we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all what? Spiritual wisdom and understanding. You'll go to the right source for your wisdom and understanding. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, live worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is how you'll know you belong with the Lord, that you're a dual citizen. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. When it's by grace, we give thanks. When it's by works, we take credit. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Christ is the Lord, amen? He's the boss. So he prays, and then he exhorts them. Look over at Colossians chapter 3. He exhorts the Colossians, the Philippians, all of us. Verse 11. He says, here's what I want you to know. In Christ, there's no Greek and there's no Jew. You see that? There's none of these social categories. No Greeks, no Jews. I'm surprised he didn't say Democrats and Republicans there. Circumcised and uncircumcised. There's none of that. There's no barbarian. There's no Scythian. There's no slave. There's no free. It's Christ and all. We're all together in Christ. We don't play those games. We don't let the culture take us there. Amen? Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Put on compassionate hearts. Kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Think about our country today and think about this verse. From every side of the aisle, I don't care. The Lord wants compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bearing with one another. And if one is complaining against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. To which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful, 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 thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word that transforms us. Teaching, admonishing one another, one another. In all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed and everything in the name of Jesus, give thanks to God the Father through him. Thanks again, thanks. For grace, amen. It's how you'll know true believers from false. Christ-like. Be the real deal. You and I individually. Calvary together. Joining our other wonderful brothers and sisters around the city. We're to be the real deal. A true follower of Jesus puts him first. He's the only Lord. He's above culture. He's above nationality. He's above race. He's above patriotism. He's above socioeconomic status and politics. There's no exception. Now, at times we all fall short. Even genuine believers, we fall short. We're human. We're not perfect. We're longing for that day. True followers of Jesus Christ mess it up. We mess it up. We get our priorities, our loyalties, our agendas out of whack sometimes. But when true believers get it out of whack, at some point, sooner or later, it bothers us. Amen? We're teachable. It bothers us. We say, oh yeah, I've let this issue dominate me and define me. Anybody listening to me on this issue would think I'm just like them. I got just this world. And the Lord says, no, you can have convictions about whatever the issue is. You have that right and responsibility. But they need to know you serve a greater king and a greater kingdom. Amen. Bothers us eventually. We get convicted by the Holy Spirit because people have been born twice actually have the Holy Spirit. So we know it's wrong. Not in and of itself. The law is not wrong, and history and science and politics and culture, in and of itself, it's not wrong. But when we give ourselves to it and people don't even know we're any different from them when we belong to Christ, there's something wrong. Amen? If we truly know Jesus Christ, if we've truly been born not just once as American citizens or whatever citizenship you have the privilege of, but we've actually been born twice, a heavenly citizenship also. When we fail to be the church, when we fail to be the real deal, it bothers us. It bothers us. And when we read in Philippians, let's go back there as we begin to close here. When we read in Philippians that these individuals, some of who were Jewish professing faith in Christ people, some were Greek professing faith in Christ people, who believed that they belonged to Jesus Christ. They really believed it. But when we hear about them being described by the Apostle Paul, starting in verse 18, by these five ugly, unbelievably awful qualities, people who believed they were Christians, it really gets my attention and yours. You see that? He says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you with tears, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Somebody who's professing Christ is walking as an enemy of the cross of Christ. That's mind-boggling. And they're right in the church. And they don't even know what they don't know. And verse 19, their end is what? It's destruction. It's not heaven. It's not glory. It's not eternal life. It's not experiencing a kingdom full of love and peace and joy and brotherhood and sisterhood. No, it's destruction. And their God is their belly. Wow. Their God is themselves. Their God is their own appetites, their own desires, their own agendas. And they glory in their shame. Meaning, what should shame them, they glory in. For the Jewish folks who profess Jesus, but they really aren't believers, they glory in their adherence to the law. They do what Paul did before he knew Christ. He gloried in his commitment to the law, and later he was ashamed of glorying in the law because he was convicted. Amen? And the Greeks, they were glorying in their culture, the philosophy, the science, the history. And when they should have been ashamed that they gloried in that and put their faith in that before they put their faith in Christ. You know what they all do, if you just want to say it in a general principle? They glory in their own resume instead of God's resume. Two men went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee's the good guy. Believe it or not, in the culture, the tax collector was the bad guy. The Pharisee's the good guy, the religious guy. And he goes to the temple and pray, and it says he wouldn't even associate with the tax collector there. He stood apart, and he basically prayed, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like anybody like this guy. Man, I give my tithes, I pray, I do it all. He literally went and prayed God his resume. Can you imagine? Oh, I can imagine. The tax collector's the bad guy in the culture, in the minds of the people. He's the traitor. He's the one who is with Rome, helping Rome oppress the people. Not only is he a traitor, he's a thief because he gets what Rome wants, and then he takes more for himself and he becomes rich. So he's despised. And what does he do? He prays God's resume back to God. He says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy. See? So they were glorying in their shame. Instead of being ashamed at themselves and learning to glory in God Himself. Just like us. Just like our culture. Their minds were set on earthly things. They professed to be twice born, here and above, earthly and heavenly, but their mind was only where? Here. Just here. By the way, that's a dead, and I don't use the word lightly. It's a dead giveaway. So Paul exposes them, and he warns us. You think we can't be self-deceived? When you preach your own resume to God, it's easy to deceive yourself. But thank God, there are genuine believers. Amen? And we thank God for that. He has His people. And by His grace, next time, we want to talk about the true believers relating to their culture. But I had to do this today. And as we relate to our culture and thinking even in a political sense, we're going to look at some of these things, and I just want to share it with you in 30 seconds and we're going to be wrapped up. We are called to honor the king, to honor the emperor, to honor the president, to pray for him or her. Wow. That'll set the true believers apart. But we are called to openly and explicitly, but humbly and lovingly, let everybody know that we serve a greater king and a greater kingdom. Amen? And we are to live every day longing for a greater city and a greater country. Amen? And we are to spend every day longing for our King to come. And I wanted this one on Communion Sunday next week, God willing. Amen? Glory to God. It is good to be back with you, by the way. Amen. 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 He's good. He's so good to us. In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Lord, what can we say? You are amazing. Oh, Lord, forgive us for praying our own resume. We know the way you distinguish between genuine believers and those who are not. It's not because some preach and pray their own resume and the others don't. No, no, Lord, that's not how. We all pray our own resume sometimes. True believers and false believers. We all do it. The difference is the true believers are shamed by that.